Welcome. It's great to have you. It's great to be gathered together today to worship the Lord in the sanctuary of God. And just a couple quick little updates by the way of announcements this morning. First off, I just want to thank you guys for everything that all your prayers, and those of you that have supporting the School of Missions. It's going really, really well. Again, we're hosting Calvary School of Missions down in Mexico, taking, of course, a step of faith during these, very uncertain times. But it's been going just, better than we could plan for, and we're just so thankful to the Lord to be able to, be there with the students, different missionaries coming down, teaching, sharing, stirring them up, equipping them. It's a wonderful thing to be with a group of world changers, to be with a group of people that our hearts are saying, hey, send me, here am I, send me, and really be able to pour into them. I know for all of us that are involved, all of us leaders, and that would include you guys that are supporting and praying, just how blessed it is and how honored we feel. As Pastor Tim told Debbie and I yesterday, as we said, thank you for partnering with us, as Tim is, Tim's here this morning. Say hi to Tim and Jen. Great to have you. Tim runs the school down there, so he's just up here. We're going back tonight together. And, he said, when we said thank you for partnering and, all your leadership and everything, he says, that'd be like someone asking, Tom Brady, hey, would you like to play in the Super Bowl? He's like, it's just simply an honor. And that is truly how all of us feel, as it is truly a blessing. And so thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray. But I wanted to update you guys that things are going really well. And God is certainly moving, and we're overjoyed. Because of COVID and everything, some of our workers around the world are unable to get back, and so it's one of those. They are family, the father, sorry for my cryptic language, but the father of the R family, just for security purposes, is here. He's not here this morning. He's at another fellowship, but we'll be here next Sunday after the service is over. He's going to give just a 5-minute greeting introduction, but next Sunday at 6 p.m., 6 in the evening, we are going to do an update in the sanctuary. I know that's last minute, but if you guys want to mark that down, if you'd like to come out to that, again, there will be no, as we typically do, like a dessert kind of thing, there will be no food, but it's just going to be a time of a fellowship and, of course, getting updates. And I'll tell you what, the Lord is doing some awesome stuff. You don't want to miss it. Some really exciting stuff. And I was able to be there, just right before the whole COVID thing happened in the late latter part of February. Myself and two of the brothers from our church were there and got to see the work firsthand. So very, very excited to have him here with us. So mark that down, 6 o'clock in the sanctuary next Sunday evening, and we're looking forward to that. Well, let's pray for our tithes and offerings this morning, and we will be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 together. Just a reminder, too, that we give online, or you can give through the boxes here, in the sanctuary, and the ones downstairs in the courtyard, right? That's what I always used to say. But in the sanctuary and the ones downstairs in the courtyard as well, because the sanctuary is the courtyard. And I'll tell you what, I'm having fun. I love outdoor celebrations and worship. So I'm thankful to that. And of course, you can give online through our website. I want to encourage you guys to be faithful, to give during these times. It's really important that we stay very focused on the Lord and His kingdom as we are still moving forward in advancing that kingdom for God's glory. Well, let's pray for that. Pray for the word this morning. Father, we are so grateful to be gathered today, and we know many aren't. And God, we want to pray for the church. We want to pray for the pastors. We want to pray for wisdom, Lord, and boldness and leadership during these times. God, we want to ask, Lord, that we would be first and foremost kingdom-minded in everything we do. God, we pray for your church, your bride, and we ask, God, that you would just strengthen your bride right now. Father, we pray for those that are sheltered in, that you would strengthen them, that you would continue to build them. As I know, as time goes on, it gets tiresome, it gets weary. Father, I pray that you'd give them wisdom and you would speak to them by your Spirit in the next steps for them. For those of us that have, Lord, are gathering in person, Lord, we pray that you would just really be amongst us and continue to give us wisdom and in being wise, and Lord, strengthen us, give us health. Lord, we pray that your church, the pillar and ground of truth to a community at this point, Lord, in time, would be active amongst the community, would be visible, Lord, not just meeting, but just, Lord, being a witness of Jesus Christ right now, Father, throughout, Lord, our neighborhoods, throughout our families, throughout our communities, God, that you would help us to rise, Father, and to be, Lord, a light in the midst of, Lord, darkness. Strength, God, and consistency in the midst of uncertainty and confusion. Father, we pray for our nation that you would lay your hand upon us and that you would strengthen us, God, and that you would help us to turn back to you. Father, everywhere we've kicked you out of, Lord, the public square, we pray, God, that we would bring you back. Father, from, Lord, our government to our schools, Father, to our neighborhoods, to our, Lord, city councils and our, Lord, city events, Father, to, God, our homes, Father, to the church, Lord. You've been kicked out of some areas of the church, God, and we pray for a work of revival, God, and Lord, that we would be ready for your return, that we would be watchful, Lord, as Lord, we seek your face and look up to the heavens, awaiting your immediate, Lord, rapture. We ask in Jesus' name that as we study these topics, Father, here in 1 Thessalonians, that you would, Lord, just really speak to us, Lord, not just, Lord, with information, but you would speak to our hearts today. God, that we would be stirred today to live our lives for you, for your glory, God, and we just praise you and we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. If you aren't there yet, we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we want to continue a study we started last week here in chapter 5 entitled, Are You Ready? What a truth. Are you ready? And you know, we're just trucking through the scriptures here, but certainly as the Holy Spirit leads us as we go verse by verse, it's a word really for where we find ourselves today. Are we a ready people? Ready for what, you might ask? Ready for God's kingdom to be built, to be established, to be strengthened. Ready for his return. Ready for him to come back. Are we engaged? Are we focused upon the things that we ought to be? We ended last week's message with the importance of, in this time that we're living, in the time of so much different opinions and debates and division that's going on. And unfortunately, we see it overflowing, the social issues, the different issues concerning, you know, the shutdown and all of that. We see it overflowing in the church where we're seeing different opinions amongst ourselves, and we can easily get wrapped up and caught up and, you know, this and that, and get very, to be honest, earthly minded. We saw that the great need we have today, as we do every day as a believer, is to love one another. Jesus said, all men will know that you are my disciples by your love one for another. Right, John 13, there in verses 24 and 25. I mean, this is what we are to be. Let us not forget that we are to be witnesses of Jesus Christ from your Belinda to the ends of the earth. That hasn't changed. And I have seen the enemy using the things that are going on to really stumble, to get us off track. And I just want to encourage us to search our own hearts today and make sure that we're on track. And this is really where Paul brings us, as he says here in chapter 5. And last Sunday we looked at the first three verses here of chapter 5, really part one of our study, Are You Ready? And we looked at a phrase, really kind of just a summary phrase that I gave us concerning this passage. And then from that we broke down a few points, and we saw two of the three last week. That phrase is, just to remind us, the day of the Lord will come suddenly and unexpectedly. Are you ready? And from that, that's kind of what Paul is talking about here, that the day of the Lord, again, will come suddenly and unexpectedly. Are you ready? We saw last Sunday, we saw in verse 2, the phrase, the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? And then we saw in verse 3, the idea that it will come suddenly and unexpectedly. And now we're going to move on here this morning to verse 4 and on, and we'll see how far we get. Really, the section is up to verse 11. And, looking at that third point, are you ready? But let's read it together again. It's, I think, so important. In fact, I'm going to back up to chapter 4 because it's a section, and I'm just going to read. I think it's good to be washed with the word this morning in verse 13, and we're going to read all the way through chapter 5, verse 11. This is the section Paul gives concerning the rapture of the church, concerning the day of the Lord, as we're breaking all of those things down, understanding the difference between the rapture and the second coming and everything in between. Paul says in chapter 4, verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now that phrase concerning is important. It's Paul answering questions. We already looked at that. But concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. This is exciting stuff. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And here we see this phrase again. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, I have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape in our text this morning. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the darkness, or not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, are drunk at night, but let us who are on the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. Now, that's the word of God. I just want to remind us, what I just read isn't the word of man. That's not my ideas, not your ideas. It's not a religious book. This is the word of God. Paul says, by the word of the Lord, I'm saying these things to you. This is emphatic. This is an absolute. This is going to take place. Isn't that awesome? But get your heart a little bit stirred this morning as we start getting into this stuff. Like, this is the word of the Lord. This isn't something we do on Sundays, gather together and read the Bible and, you know, talk about it a little bit. This is true. This is future. All of us want to know the future. Who doesn't want to know your future? Like, oh man, I would love to know where I'm going. I'd love to know what's going to happen. Now, some of us, probably after living some time, it would probably be better, Lord, if you didn't tell me my future, because it wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be, right? You know, if I would have known that this was my future, I certainly, you know, would have been, like, probably worried. But wait a second. That's only when the future, when what's going on in our lives is something that's a downer, a discouragement. It wasn't what we had thought. It wasn't what we had hoped. But the word of the Lord tells us our future. And that future is a good future. That future is more than good. That future is glorious. That future is exciting. That future breathes within our hearts anticipation for the immediate return of Jesus Christ, the building of his kingdom, a wiping out of evil, a purging from our own bodies, the concept of corruption, evil, sin within our own hearts, an absolute, just a brand new body, as we saw a few weeks ago, just a brand new body that is incapable of sin. I mean, that's our future. And so in light of that future, Paul says, let us be ready. Let us be honed in. Let us live soberly. Let us be watchful. Let us be engaged in our Father's business. And so this morning, we're reminded once again, which is, this is the purpose of God sharing our future with us. It isn't so we'll debate about how it's going to take place. You know, when I speak of eschatology and the study of end times events that we're looking at, well, I believe this, I believe it. We can get in our little circles and just start debating about all the different views and everything. Listen, the purpose isn't so God's bride will debate about what God's bride's going to go through or not go through, but it's so that we are ready for the Lord. A lot of times we're looking at events when we think about the future, when we think about the end times. But what we need to be recognizing is the end times is about Jesus. You realize the book of Revelation, it's not a revelation of end times events. I mean, the book states it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's how it starts. The revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm afraid many people walk away from the book of Revelation, from the reading of it, from a study of it, and they walk away from it not with more of Jesus, but they walk away from it, you know, with all kinds of different ideas and different things. It's about Jesus. Jesus coming. Book of Revelation is about the second coming, about Jesus coming and establishing his kingdom here on earth in what is called in Revelation chapter 20, the millennial reign of Christ, where he comes and wipes out the nations that are fighting Israel in Revelation 19 and establishes his kingdom. But we believe strongly, and as we'll continue here, we'll see this, that the Lord is coming for his church in a different way than the second coming to pour out judgment and wrath and battle and war. But he's coming for his bride to rescue them before things get really, really bad, and called the rapture of the church, which is what Paul has just laid out for us there in chapter 4. Now concerning, he says, the times and the seasons, I don't need to write to you because you know already perfectly, you know and understand that what's going to happen and what's going to take place. And it's important for us to recognize this and understand it. So we saw last week quickly, the day of the Lord isn't a day. It's not a 24-hour day. It's a time period. And the word times and seasons refer to that. In fact, we get from those phrases the idea of chronology. It's actually where we get the English word chronology. It speaks of kind of the events, how they unfold. It speaks of both seasons, as it's translated, and times, like the actual time on the clock. So both are there. This is what's going to take place. And he tells us that the day of the Lord is going to come what? Suddenly and unexpectedly. We saw last week that the day of the Lord starts at the rapture of the church. Now, throughout Scripture, the day of the Lord is a day of wrath. It's a day that begins wrath. Now, again, when I say day, it's not 24 hours of wrath. It's actually a time period starting with the 7 years of tribulation. In fact, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 6 and verse 17, it says this. This is the last verse of Revelation 6, where it really begins into what we know as the day of the Lord, of the judgments that begin to unfold on the earth. Again, I believe the church will be taken up before this time, but it says, "For the great day of his wrath has come, who is able to stand?" Notice, again, there, John is using that phrase day, not referring to 24 hours, but a time period where judgment is going to happen. And Paul here uses two illustrations about the suddenness of this day, how it's going to come upon us suddenly and unexpectedly. Well, it's going to come upon the world suddenly and unexpectedly. He uses the idea, the analogy of a thief breaking into your house. It's not like you know when that's going to happen. So it's going to be something that's sudden. The second thing that he uses is a woman going into labor. When it begins, there's no stopping it. When this event begins, and this is what's going to happen, at the rapture of the church, this event's going to start, and there is no stopping it. Like when a woman begins to have labor pains, the next thing that's coming is the birth. And so we want to continue now this morning with this idea here. Again, we're taking the phrase, the day of the Lord will come suddenly and unexpectedly. Those were our first two points. The third point this morning we want to look at is, are you ready? That's Paul's point. Now, let me just say it again. If we've missed it, or we just need to be refreshed and reminded of it, let me just say it again, that this idea that the Lord is coming for his church and that the church is to be ready is the main purpose of eschatology. Now, I want you to hear that, because sometimes people go, well, that's for the scholars to debate. Well, it was written for us, and remember, Paul was with the Thessalonians some three Sabbaths, a couple weeks, literally, I mean, 3-4 weeks. He writes to them, you guys know these things. In verse 2, you know them. You understand them. In chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, in verse 5, since it's right here, I'll just read it to us. He says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? So the new believers class for Paul
was eschatology. Like, these were foundational truths of Christianity that Paul was going to disciple the brand new believers in. It wasn't a matter of just absolute mayhem of confusion of, I don't know what you know is really going on, but it was simply for the purpose of, as Paul makes it very clear here, us to be ready. And when Satan comes in and brings about those, you know, debate, and it's, there's nothing wrong with debate, okay? When it's more of a dialogue, you know, believers with believers, we're discussing, we're working through scripture, like, that's an important thing. By the way, I don't have a cold, if some of you are COVID freaking out. I have allergies. Those of you who've been around our church know that, you know, I'm always doing this when I preach. I'm completely healthy. So I just have to say that. Little commercial break. But you know, it's so important for us to see that the purpose is to awaken us spiritually. And Satan has robbed us of that. And so I want to encourage us to understand that. Listen to what he says in verse 4. But you, notice the word you and others and they. He says, but you, of course, he's writing to the church. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. So it's sudden and unexpected to the world, but not to you. Because you're ready. See, this is what he's saying. This isn't going to be a shocking event for us. It's actually going to be what we've been looking for. I want us to see that we've been looking for the coming of the Lord, have we? Are we? Are we living our lives like if Jesus came right now and raptures, we'd be like, yes, it's here. It's, this is great. Not like, oh, wait, there was a few things I wanted to still do. I'm not ready. Some of us know all about that. We're you know, those people that, you know, when someone comes to pick us up from our house at a certain time that we're not ready. We're known to be late, right? We're known to be like, I forgot. Oh, you know, I didn't do this. Oh, I didn't. We didn't plan ahead well, and we weren't ready. Let's not be like that. If that's how you are in life, I don't care. But I don't want you to be like that when it comes to your spiritual life. That we're ready. Like, I don't need my cell phone for the rapture. You know, oh no, I forgot my cell phone, right? What am I going to do? You know how it is when you forget your cell phone? I mean, it's like a god. You know, it's like, I can't live without it. You know, and I heard someone say yesterday they left their cell phone at my house. They came back in and says, oh, there you are. It's like a person. Like they're in a relationship. And we're all like that, by the way, all of us. I'm like, have you ever say the phrase, I feel naked without my cell phone? Like, you know, there's that, look, you won't need your cell phone.
Yeah, Tim's like, throw it away. He's like, I hate technology. Can't we go back to just face-to-face human reality? You know, it's so easy, though, to get our roots. And it's nothing that if you have a cell phone, you have your roots. I mean, we all have cell phones. And I always tell Tim, please make sure your cell phone's on. I'm trying to get a hold of you, bro. And he's like, you know, we all have roots in life, in this world. We want to make sure those roots are very loose. We want to make sure our roots are in the kingdom of God. That we're rooted and grounded in Him. That our lives are being lived right now for Him and for His glory. Paul says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Who is surprised at this day? Those that are living in darkness. You are, verse 5, you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness.
And notice again the you. You are all sons of the light. You are sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, verse 6, let us, the believers, not sleep as others, the world, do. But let us, the believers, watch and be sober. For those, that is the world, who sleep at night. And those, the world, who get drunk, they get drunk at night. Now, let me just say this. Paul is here talking about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. The sons of the light and the sons of darkness. You're either in one or the other category. You're either a child of God or you're a child of darkness. Jesus says your father is the devil, those that are in darkness. And by the way, when he said that, it's in John chapter 8, he's referring to the religious leaders. That was a quite shocking little sermon that they got from him that day. You're sons of the devil. What? You know, there's this popular concept that we're all children of God. I just want to let you know that that isn't biblical. We are not all children of God. Not by any means. In fact, every one of us was born under the sway of the wicked one. That's what it means to be born into a fallen world with a fallen nature as a sinner. We're all born as sinners. Every single one of those beautiful little kids that we have, until they're born again, they're nothing more than sinners. You think, why is it so hard? Because there's literally a spiritual battle that's going on in your home. You're trying to raise these little sinners. You know, and you think, man, he doesn't like kids. I love kids, but I am a realist. They're sinners. And my wife and I, we always, when we are raising our kids, we always recognize, hold on, they're sinners. And you don't conform a sinner. A sinner needs to be transformed. And so the key is not shape them up, make them look pretty on the outside. That's nothing more than a Pharisee. But their hearts need to be transformed. So you always want to get to the heart issue. And the issue there is a need for Jesus. A need to be born again. A need to be transformed. To be a new creation. Well, it's not just the kids. It's all of us. That's where we all are. Unless we've been born again, which I know I speak to a group of you today, the church, that for most of us, because I don't know where everyone is, I don't just want to assume, but for most of us, we know what that means. And you know what it means if you've been born again. If you're like, I don't know, have I been born again? Then let's talk. You need to be born again. Because you know when God's changed you from darkness to light. You know, this was the message that God gave to the Apostle Paul. He told the Apostle Paul when he saved him out of darkness. He said to him, I'm calling you to go to the Gentiles and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they might have the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among all those who believe. Think about that. This was the message. That's for you Bible students, those note takers. That's Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Where here the Lord is speaking and Paul's recounting his testimony. And he says, when I was there and the Lord struck me on the road leading to Damascus, he said to me, this is going to be your ministry. You're going to go to the Gentiles, the pagans, and you're going to turn them from darkness to light. Which means that's where they're born, in darkness. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says that we were once dead in our trespasses and sins, which Christ made us alive together with him. And it goes on to say that we were once led by the course of this world, by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh, and we were children of wrath just as the others. Think about that, children of wrath. Verse 9, it says, we have not been appointed to wrath, but salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of what it means to be born again. What kingdom are we in today? You say, I'm in the kingdom of light, Pastor Trent. Are we living like sons of the light? It's interesting, this phrase here in verse 5, you are all sons of the light. That phrase is the exact phrase that we find in the writings we call the Dead Sea Scrolls. You realize the Dead Sea Scrolls are one of the greatest finds in modern history concerning the Word of God. And they were found, of course, there in the area of what we know as Qumran, right by, that's why they're called the Dead Sea Scrolls, down by the Dead Sea. They were preserved for almost 2,000 years because of the dry climate down there. And from it came much of the Old Testament, which just simply, they were written there in the first century in Jesus' time. When the Essenes went out to that area, there's a Essene community. It's another sect of Judaism, like Pharisees, Sadducees. There's another sect called the Essenes. They're not mentioned in the Bible, but we know them from history. And we found their community out there. It's an amazing find. But do you realize that one of the phrases, because they wrote more than just the scriptures, they wrote their doctrines, their beliefs. One of the phrases that is found consistently through their writings is they call themselves the sons of the light. And do you know what their main thought was as sons of the light? They had a very strong view of eschatology that the Messiah was going to come and that the sons of the light needed to be prepared. The very purpose of the Essene community, and some of you might know about this, some of you, this might be something you've never heard about, but I just, in a very brief second here, the Essenes left Jerusalem. So they're a part of the religious group there in Jerusalem, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. In fact, in Jerusalem, there's called the Essene Gate. We believe that's the quarter of Jerusalem, the old city of Jerusalem, the section where Jesus and his disciples had the Passover meal. The day of Pentecost took place there. That's where the upper room is, in the area where there's the Essene Gate. And, so they were the sect, but they left Jerusalem. Why did they leave Jerusalem? Because they were readying themselves for the coming of the Messiah. It's interesting to me. In this time, this is what's going on when Paul writes this. Of course, Paul is familiar with the Essenes as a religious leader in Jerusalem. Paul understands this, that he calls us the sons of the light. It is a reference, I believe, historically, to those that are ready. I mean, they left the beauty of Jerusalem. They left the temple. And they went to the desert, and they lived a monastic life out in the desert, readying and preparing. Now, of course, they were off. I'm not saying you should follow the Essene doctrine, okay? Please don't misunderstand me for any of us that understand their beliefs or whatnot. But just the idea of that preparation, that readiness, anticipation, that they're devoting their lives to being prepared for the coming of the Lord. This is so huge and so important for us to see. Well, he says in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. He uses two words here that are very similar. The idea to be alert, to watch, to be ready. The other word, to be sober, the word here is the idea of to be self-controlled. To live a life that is controlled, live a life that has a vision. He's going to go on. We're not going to get there this morning in verses 8 to talk about armor. He's going to talk about, again, one of Paul's favorite descriptions of the Christian as being a soldier. And we'll look at it next week, but as we unpack that, where he talks about, faith, hope, and love again, those three beautiful truths about that we're ready and that we're like soldiers. You see, that's the idea of being watchful. It's not living like a civilian. It's living like someone who's ready. It's living like a soldier. You're a part of a kingdom. The king is coming. We are preparing ourselves, and we are in a battle right now. And in that battle, one of our greatest enemies isn't so obvious to us, maybe. It's the lack of watchfulness. It's the lack of sobriety in our thinking.
Again, the word sobriety, and he goes on to talk about those who get drunk at night. He's not necessarily talking about those that are drunkards. He's not excluding that. That's part of it. That's kind of part of the stigma of those that are living their lives for themselves, living their lives uncontrolled in that culture. But you know, this is a real issue. He's speaking about being watchful, being sober, being controlled. We have an issue in our society of self-control. It's a major issue. In fact, down at the School of Missions, one of the speakers down there, who's been a missionary for the last 20 years in Europe, he was sharing with us as we were talking about, you know, in Europe, the Christians drink alcohol, and, you know, certainly Calvary Chapel and the Americans, you know, can look down on that and judge that. And he said, but you know what they judge of America is that the Christians in America are all gluttons. That's what they see, the culture. You know, different aspect, different perspective. And it's true that there's just a lack of self-control. And that's just one thing of the many things. You think about the media that we're addicted to. You know, think about addictions. You know, we will say someone, you know, you're addicted to drugs. You're addicted to alcohol. But how many of us would consider food an addiction? How many of us would consider, you know, media, TV, internet, whatever it might be, video games to, you know, movies, to just, I just have social distancing in my head. I've been destroying social media. That's it. Thank you. You know, it's like, I mean, what is wrong with us today? Anyways, on topic. You know, these kinds of things, they cause us to be lulled to sleep spiritually. That's his point. That we're just kind of sleeping. Sports, that's another big one, you know. NBA is about to start on Thursday, you know. I'm excited, maybe too excited, which might reveal an issue of, you know, don't get lulled to sleep. We've got to be, and again, it's not like you can't watch any sports, you can't eat any food, you know, you can't have a cell phone, you can't, you know, do any social, media, you know, you can't watch a movie. Like, again, it's not clean up the outside, it's, am I awake? Am I distracted? Am I sober? Am I being watchful? Am I ready for the coming of the Lord? And that's here what he's saying. He's saying, for those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. Just in closing here this morning, I want to touch on just a couple other verses that refer to this in the scriptures. Two main verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 18 says this. Now listen, look at the parallels here, and think about what we just read here, that, you know, that you are sons of the light and of the day, and you're not of darkness or of the night. Let us not sleep as others, but let us be watchful and sober. Those who sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. And Paul says this to the Ephesians. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit, or many translations have the word light instead of spirit. And for the fruit of light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship. This is living soberly. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather exposing them. We're not sharing with them. We're not becoming like them. But we are coming in as light in darkness. And light always reveals what darkness has concealed. He says, for it is shameful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. That's the word for carefully, or it's actually the idea of being watchful. It comes from the word circumference. It means you're walking aware of your surroundings all the way around. You're not like, what's up? You know, and sometimes that's what happens in life. We just get caught up with life and whatever it is, you know, and just kind of get lulled to sleep. Spiritually, he says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the times. That's a word for us. Because the days are evil. What are we doing with our time? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The need for us to be spiritually alert, to be spiritually ready, to be in tune. And then one more, Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And if you missed that other reference, it's Ephesians chapter 5 that I just read, verses 8 through 18. Jot them down. I encourage you, because we're not really digging into them, I really encourage you to meditate on them. But Romans 13, verses 11 through 14 says this, and do this, I love this, knowing the times, and now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk prudently as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy. I mean, notice he starts here talking about putting off the darkness, putting on the armor of light, which in verse 8 of our text, we'll go on to talk about this armor there that we're to be putting on, the armor of faith and love and hope as a helmet. But let us walk prudently, let us walk watchfully as in the day. So this idea of day and night. And he says, not in revelry or drunkenness. And you go, that's not me. But watch, he goes on, not in lewdness or lust. And you might even say, well, that's not me. Or you might say, yeah, that's an issue. What about not in strife or envy? See, it's a whole range of issues that we have. And we all have different issues. We all have different struggles. Some of our struggles, or someone else's struggle, isn't our struggle. We look at it like, that's not even a struggle. Like, lust isn't a struggle, you might say for me. But the next guy, it's a big struggle. We go, drunkenness, that's not even an issue. The other guy, it is an issue. And you know, the guy that's a drunkard says, yeah, you know, strife and envy, those aren't my issues. But they might be our issues. See, we're all in different places. And Paul just calls us out and he says, awake! Salvation is nearer than when you first believed. He says, put on the, goes on the last verse here of Romans 13. He says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Now remember, the word lust doesn't just mean sexual. The word lust means craving. It means desire. Whatever you're desiring, whatever sin, listen, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for that flesh to fulfill it. To fulfill its cravings and desires. Make no place for it. We must turn to the Lord. We must awake. Now, this is what I want to end with. Brothers and sisters, let us awaken. In the midst of where we find ourselves as a nation, as a country, as a people, the chaos that we're seeing right now in our world, where are we spiritually? Are we ready? Man, are you ready? It's interesting. One of the things that the pastor from Europe had shared about eschatology with the students there at the school, I thought it was pretty interesting, his perspective, because he said, when I left 20 years ago to go to the field, the rapture was being taught in Calvary. Pastor Chuck was huge with eschatology. And it was all about looking for the Lord. It was all about living your life now because Jesus is coming and time is short and let's not waste our life. He says, but now returning, I notice that when people talk about the rapture, it's not about living their lives now for the Lord. It's about deliverance from their life now. It's a difference. You know, where it's like, oh, Lord, this just sucks. Would you come fast? Right? I mean, that's not the motivation that we are. And that's true. That's a benefit. That's true, but it's to live your life now for the Lord. Because time is short and his kingdom is real and eternity is weighed in the balance for so many. And let us go out and be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Let his name be lifted up. Let his name be glorified. And so I pray this morning that our hearts are encouraged, strengthened by God's word, stirred, and that our souls, our spirits are awakened. Awakened to reality. Awakened to truth. Let us, like Paul says, it's high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer, which means Jesus is coming, is nearer than when we first believed. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life debating with friends and family about things that don't matter eternally. Sure, you can have your discussions, whatever. We all have our thoughts, our opinions. We all have them. You can't change that. I mean, I've got a ton. You know, you don't want to get in a dialogue with me if you disagree, because it probably won't end up well in the sense of we're just going to disagree or I can convince you. No, you know, you're saying the same thing to me. And that's how we get. And we lose sight of eternity. We lose sight of souls. We lose sight of the gospel. We lose sight of sharing the love of Jesus Christ with those around us. The church isn't to be gathered here and just to discuss and debate and be silent out there. But the church is to be sons of light that go into darkness, alert and awake to reach those that are in the darkness. Let us never forget that is our calling. And so maybe you've come today and you're finding yourself in that place and you don't know, am I saved? If Jesus came right now, would I, you know, go to heaven with him? Where are you today? Where do you find yourself? I know this, that we're here today to be that very witness, to be that light. The word of God has been a light this morning. And our prayer for you is that you would rise. Our prayer for you is that you would see Jesus for who he is. Bible says, for whoever calls in the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Maybe you're joining us online. Maybe you're watching this service later on. And we want to invite you to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. Bible says, whoever calls on his name can be saved. Today, I want to urge you to call on the name of the Lord. You don't know that you have tomorrow. I'll do it later. But later might not be there. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day that Jesus is speaking to you. He might not be doing that as clearly as he is right now, tomorrow. Respond to him. Respond to the invitation to know Jesus Christ. And I pray you would do that. And for us that are believers, let that be our message to the world around us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We ask, God, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord, upon us, and that you would meet us, you would touch us, and God, that you would fill us with all of yourself. For anyone here today, watching, listening, that doesn't know you, that doesn't have a right relationship with you, our prayer, Lord, is that they would come into a living relationship with you, that they would call out on your name, and today that they would be saved. And we just ask that you would meet them. And today, Lord,
we ask for ourselves that are believers, you would begin to pinpoint in our life those things that have lulled us to sleep, that you would awaken us, God, with a fresh work of your Spirit, with fresh revival in our hearts, that we might love you, live for you, and give you praise and give you glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.